Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to an exciting, fresh, fabulous new episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ The Bottomless Pit, and we have a very special guest with us tonight in the studio. I never mentioned my co-host, Lance. Is it because I don't respect you and the contribution that you make to the show?
Well, I think it's because I'm dressed all in black, and that's very difficult to see.
With us... with me and Lance in the studio tonight is Carl. Carl has been on the show two or three times now, I think. Three? Is that three? Mm-hmm. And Carl is a internet celebrity, sexual expert, and...
Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, sexual expert is often abbreviated as just sexpert these days.
I thought that was the French word sexpert. Silent T.
I mean, I think we English speakers can stand on our own linguistic feet.
And internet celebrity, psychic, and sexual expert Carl, sexpert Carl, is going to be talking about, in particular tonight, this exciting convention that happened in Maryland this weekend, the Black Rose. And Carl, welcome to the program. What can I say?
Howdy.
So,
is it just coincidence that this big convention happened over the Thanksgiving weekend?
Or? It didn't happen last weekend. It was about almost 4 weeks ago, in fact. It was the weekend of the 4th, 5th, 6th.
Oh.
So no, it's not quite that recent. It's just that it took until today, for example, for the Salon piece to come out on it.
Well, so there was an article in Salon magazine, which I guess you can go to at salon.com.
If you look on the back sheet of that, if you want to read the contorted nonsense, it's,
oh my god,
I actually wrote it down. Have a blast. You don't want to read that. Just go to www.salonmagazine.com and hunt around under the health areas and the columns under health.
Yeah, under urge specifically, which is there.
Yes.
We can't actually write about pornography.
Now, why can't they write about pornography?
Because that would be bad for their image.
I see.
It's the same way HBO, for example.
But so they can comment on pornography?
They can comment on pornography all they want, right?
Without critiquing it on a personal basis? Well, then, anyway. Okay. But,
like HBO, the cable network, right? So all the other premium cable channels show actual softcore pornography. HBO is too classy for that, but they'll show documentaries about pornography.
Their concept of a documentary is expansive.
That HBO Indeed. Real sex thing, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah, among others.
And sex bites, and there's a couple other their little series of programs.
And so Salon follows the same mildly disingenuous formula,
right,
to titillate its readers without giving the sort of seamy, grimy appearance of pornography.
And standing in stark contrast to that is our own show, where we deliver the goods week after week.
Testify, brother.
I mean, for example, tonight, wouldn't you say that the kind of tattered jeans I'm wearing and kind of crappy T-shirt reminds you of a young River Phoenix at the height of his sexual peak?
I don't know. I'd say that such inappropriate dressing is the mark of a bad, bad boy who needs to be punished.
I would simply summarize and say, in your dreams. But okay, whatever floats your boat, Corey.
you say Corey, but you mean DJ.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Corey?
We did, but he's locked in my cage in my basement because he misbehaved.
Anyways, we're taking valuable time away from the topic, which was indeed the Black Rose conference gathering. What's the...
I guess you'd call it a conference. I don't remember exactly how they refer to it. Yes, it's well, this has become an annual event for them. Black Rose is now about 12 years old. When they were coming up on their 10th anniversary, they thought they ought to do something big. And Black Rose is an organization based in D.C. To be a sort of support group and a magnet around which people can collect to be among like-minded folks.
And what kind of people exactly would this be?
Folks who do sadomasochism, bondage, dominant submission, those sorts of things. And the first year, they took over the Ramada, and they didn't plan to do much more than that. The second and third years, they take over the Ramada for everything, and they also make reservations against all the rooms in this year up to 5 more hotels.
It's totally whipping sick. That's incredible. So people are coming from all over, swarming in to these hotels.
It tends to be more of an East Coast-oriented sort of thing just because of where it's located, and there's only so far most people will go. But there are the exceptions. There were people there doing workshops who live in San Francisco and so forth. And of course, some of the bigger, more well-known vendors come from all over the place. We got them from Canada and Los Angeles and Lord knows where all else.
You brought us a program, and our viewers can't fully appreciate it.
Yeah,
but
well,
it's very professionally produced.
It is. They take it very seriously. It is very well organized. They take it from the standpoint that they're there to be supportive. They're there to help other people learn. They're there to deal with the issues of safety and responsibility and even, you know, wise dealings with the law. And so and they have enough people supporting them. And frankly, it ain't exactly cheap to attend either. And so they have the resources to deal with it really well. So they take over the Ramada, which leads to an interesting artifact that, for example, in the Ramada, the dress code is relaxed. In the public areas of the hotel, you have to keep, nipples and crotches covered, and that's about all. And there are a lot of people who don't cover much more than that.
Really?
And in the, well, I don't want to call it the private areas of the hotel, but the areas that are manifestly only for people specifically there for the conference, notably what is usually an exhibition space and is turned into the play party space for the weekend, people wear everything from Elizabethan gowns to absolutely nothing. It's a very... very wide disparity of what constitutes correct dress. There isn't a correct. There's just whatever is appropriate for whatever you're doing.
Was there a suitably wacky contingent of non-conventioners there? Was there, for example,
Well, there's not a good way to describe this, but you have to understand that, for example, the hotel staff is just the hotel staff. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, those staff who work this weekend, they know what's going on, but they may not have any personal interest. And there are also unavoidably, one way or another, other elements that aren't really involved, and so you have to keep to a minimum dress code sort of thing just to keep the cops from being concerned.
Uh-huh.
The cops are an interesting issue about it all by themselves. They hire off-duty Prince George's County cops to do security for the weekend, specifically to keep the press out and to make sure that everything stays on the up and up.
Isn't that infringing on our constitutional First Amendment right?
Isn't what infringing?
Keeping the press out.
This is a private function in technical terms. I mean, you can pay to arrive, and whoever this woman who from Salon Magazine, or I've forgotten her name, she showed up as a conference guest. You know,
okay.
she was part of the deal. She wasn't there, on a press pass or anything like that.
Okay, so it's just not just the press, but anyone who wants to sneak in.
You can't sneak in. That's the whole point, is that, you know, we know what's going on here is a little bit over the top for the vanilla world, and let's not bend their minds too far out of shape, shall we?
But it's not explicitly designed to keep the press out, right? It's not like you don't, it's not like you want to be closed and not have...
Could you just get off this press point? I'm like, who are you? This is Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
There are concerns about what kind of press you want to get. And frankly, if you ask me, what I've seen so far of this Solana article, it's the first of three parts, apparently, and I'm not real impressed. This writer is, my opinion is she's the wrong person to have written about Black Rose, because she hasn't even got sympathy for the concept, much less any understanding of the details of what goes on.
True, but the commanders in Vietnam said the same thing about the press there, and yet it was a good thing for this country that the press was there.
You know, fine, if she wants to show up and she wants to write about it, but she'll beat it up for no good reason, and we're bothering our fearful DJ here about what we're talking about. So let's move on.
Well, you're not. It's just that, presumably anybody that can cough up the $85, like if Esther Tro wanted to come and she had an extra $85, she could go, right?
But presumably, if only we lived in that world.
You wouldn't.
Hard limit, guys. You've just hit a hard limit. No.
Actually, I think next time I go to a play party, Esther Tro is going to be my stop word. I think the point is clear. You know, it's kind of a freak show. The press would have a field day with it.
We don't want to be on the 11 o'clock news.
And so presumably you can't get the press out, but you probably would keep all the cameras and satellite vehicles.
There are no cameras allowed. The only photography allowed is, was it one or two photographers who were actually contracted with Black Rose to provide, you know, a record of what went down, memorial stuff, you know, keep track of the events. That's all. No other photography is allowed anywhere.
So, So how's this thing structured? So I imagine, you know, you get there, you get a room, and then did you have a room in the main kink zone?
We actually got lucky. Because we aren't actually Black Rose members ourselves, we initially had a room reserved at the second hotel, which was a Best Western down the street. But we got on a waiting list in case of cancellations, and lo and behold, we got in on someone else's cancellation. So, yes, we were in, as you say, the kink zone. Which was really nice, because the good thing about being there is that you don't have to get into, quote, street clothes, unquote, for 3 days.
I was going to say, you probably, like, were naked and had, like, a riding crop shoved up your ass all weekend. At least I would.
Right? Well, to each his own, Corey.
Remember, public areas, nipples, and crotch cover.
Yeah, right, right. Well, one way to cover an ass.
Can your ass be exposed, or would a riding crop tail?
I believe that the limit in Maryland is 1-inch coverings over crotches, butts, and nipples. Mm-hmm. Female nipples, anyway. I don't think male nipples matter.
One square, like a little round.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why strippers have done pasties for decades, right?
I thought it was...
So, yeah, you get there Friday afternoon, Friday evening, you register, you get your room. It begins with a meet and greet sort of thing and an introduction of what's going on for the weekend, which this year happened to be held outside the vendor space. There is one of the areas off of the lounge area in the front of the hotel is taken over. It's a ballroom area. They take it over as the vendor space. And you have vendors, little vendors who just sell, you know, canes and a few knives to people who bring in large quantities of wrought iron dungeon accessories, and they sell things all weekend long. I think it's open 11 hours a day for 3 days or so.
Was there anything that particularly new, innovative? Is there an exciting new direction for the paraphernalia?
For the paraphernalia?
Yeah. Or I don't know if that's for the equipment.
Nothing really comes to mind.
Okay.
If I'd thought about that more, I might have, you know, actually have the time to consider what I'd seen for 3 days and maybe come up with something. But nothing really springs to mind right this instant in the 3 seconds I've been able to give to it.
Right. You'd think with all this sort of active playmate technology that we have that, you know, you could have some sort of computer dungeon master device, perhaps incorporating electricity and...
Well, there's certainly the realm of electric toys, but they tend to be for sensation purposes, not for your interaction.
Right. But how close? I mean, you're a technology expert as well. I mean, how close are we to a completely automated device that would, like, you know?
Come on. Well, so cough it up. Be explicit.
Well, yeah. So imagine, you know. Okay. So I've seen all these devices in kind of isolation. You know, I've seen sort of the electric butt plugs. You know, I've seen the sort of velvet violet wand, you know, mm-hmm. spiky electrode.
What you're really looking for is integration.
Right? Integration, yes. Integration, that combining the incredible, you know, artificial intelligence breakthroughs being made here at Carnegie Mellon University.
Perhaps something that would track via biofeedback mechanisms the exact amount of pain that needed to be delivered to you.
I think my short summary is you both have vivid fantasy lives, yes. And we ain't there yet.
Forgive me for thinking outside the box, but I think we're on the verge of this. I mean, this is all technology we could take off the shelf.
Mr. DJ, you found your startup concept. There it is. Go find a venture capitalist, and away you go.
Hmm.
The world is waiting for you.
Yeah, put it on the internet, and your business plan writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I ask one more question about the equipment before we go on?
No.
Okay.
All right. I just wanted to establish my dominance in our relationship.
No, please, go ahead.
No, please.
Would you like to urinate on me?
Yes.
Well, somebody asked something. I mean, come on. Here we are. We got an hour to chew, and you're wasting.
Sorry. So there's a lot of the S&M world seems to hearken to gothic themes, right? And there seems to be this sort of old world feel to it. I was wondering, is there an emphasis on sort of handmade craftsmanship that crops up in some of the equipment?
Well, there's certainly a strong appreciation for really good craftsmanship. There happen to be a number of people in the Pittsburgh area who do some really cool toys. This thing that I carry a whip on my keychain, and that's made by a man here in Pittsburgh named Lawrence, and he makes really, really cool whips. I own a bunch of them.
Well, our viewers can't see this, but this is actually whip with a small whip about the length of my index finger with a lanyard to hang on a keychain, and then
right. Maybe
–
you got 14-inch tresses. I think it's a dozen.
Yeah, 14-inch little small pieces of leather that actually perform the finger.
It's actually a fairly effective little flogger, but I carry it because it's – to me, it's a useful affectation of my outlook.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had
so there is an appreciation for handmade stuff. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's a lot of mass-produced equipment out there that is probably really quite good. I'm not an equipment slut, and you know, so I don't go and you know, I'm not after this sort of thing. I wouldn't say that it would be my interest. You find people who do handmade furniture. You find welders who work in wrought iron accessories for your dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of interesting stuff. And there is I would have to say there is a lot of handmade work. The longer I think about it as I sit here, the more I think it is very much the case that there's a lot more handmade cool stuff than there is mass-produced, mm-hmm. at least of any decent quality.
So you mentioned furniture. Are we talking like love seats, maybe like a sleeper sofa?
Well, you... Your bait rating is high.
I apologize.
For example, I own a table that looks like a coffee table. It is, in fact, designed to emulate a 19th century cobbler's bench. It has it's roughly rectangular, maybe a 3-to-1 ratio in overall length and width.
Mm-hmm.
One end is squared off. The other has some cut-ins along the side that are suitable for where a cobbler, that's a shoemaker in 19th century terms, would sit there with space for his knees at the cut-ins, and then the rectangular end of it is where he would work on a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it looks like until you do things with it, and this is the Transformer coffee table. You open up the bottom of it, and you pull out the stocks, and you run out the supporting beam that runs end-to-end on it, and you push it out the end and attach the stocks to it, and then you pull out the rope anchors which attach to the other end of it, and suddenly you have a bondage table to which a person can be attached, complete with a set of leather straps at the end where the runner comes out for the stock attachment so that you can attach their thighs and keep them quite solidly clamped down.
Wow, cool.
This is an item that we happened to acquire from a friend in town maybe 2 years ago. There's other furniture of this sort. We know a couple north of the city in Grove City who make dungeon furniture as sort of I wouldn't call it a business because they don't do enough to, you know, they don't make a living off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they make pieces and they sell it on a you know, an infrequent but regular basis. And this includes anything from what we call St. Andrew's Cross, which is a large, you know, a human-sized X with supports behind it so that it leans a little bit so you can lean into the cross.
Okay.
With anchor bolts and eye bolts and so forth to attach a person to it while you're going to do something to them. To them, for them, with them, around them.
But most of the furniture is designed to immobilize people in varying interesting positions, right?
That's probably a fair statement.
Okay.
You know, there are the occasional... Now we'll just let that go. Yeah, we'll leave it at much of it is for immobilization purposes.
I sense a path we need to go.
No, it's a dead end. That's why I stopped. Don't worry about it.
Well, when DJ the Bottomless Pit was strapped up being keel hauled by a couple of strippers.
Yes, I heard about this.
He was on, in fact, a giant wheel that was spun a little bit back and forth. So
that was I have to say there was one thing in the party space over the weekend. Someone had brought an interesting device. It was a St. Andrew's cross mounted on a motorized axle, and people could develop some fairly serious speed on this thing.
Spinning
if I'd been put
at
it, I would have been tossing my cookies within 30 seconds, but there were people who stayed on it for a good 5 minutes.
It rotated then?
It didn't merely rotate. It spun.
Okay, it spun. And we're talking fast enough to that it looks
I would have been ill in moments.
Okay.
There were people who got on it and seemed to really get off on the concept that, you know, you get spun, and maybe you don't get spun as fast when someone wants to do something else to your body.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just a fundamental timing problem of how fast the person can go,
yeah.
And if you want to, I don't know, swing a flogger at them, there's a real, real serious timing problem. But, yeah, I would say that was one of the cooler examples of a more technological sort of toy that was nonetheless handmade. It's not the sort of thing, you know, you walk into Toys R Us and say, I'd like to find a spinning St. Andrew's cross, please.
But yes. Category killer stars have grown far afield. Who knows when they'll reach the sexual underground.
Not at Toys R Us. No way. Not happening.
It does seem like a savvy retailer could make a killing in this field.
The problem is they don't want to get involved with it because it'll do things to their reputation. Oh, they sell sex toys.
Well, you know, in the same way that Disney has a separate – has Miramax, right, to distribute all their blasphemous films, you know, maybe
right.
Toys R Us could have, you know,
well,
Sex-a-Max.
I was thinking more that there's this tradition of enlightened sex toy shops, right, like Good Vibrations, that sort of place. You mm-hmm. can imagine a company coming in as a chain and saying, we're going to do it right. We're going to put giant boxes out in every suburb.
I would think that the big problem is that there isn't that much demand. Mm. You know, the set of people on the planet who are seriously into S&M and sort of related things to the point that they create a market for something, the size of that market isn't big enough to interest Toys R Us or Sears or,
true.
You know, pick such a thing.
Do you think it's growing, though?
Yeah.
And how many closeted people do you think are out there, like men or women who – are interested in this, but just did not.
You can try to create numbers for this, but it makes very little sense. I've seen some of the surveys. Was it a Masters and Johnson thing about 10 years ago? They came out with a survey. You know, one of their studies that came out with an idea that 10% of all people had at least experimented with S&M at least once in their life. I have no idea if that number makes the slightest bit of sense. It might.
Even if
that is right, well, that was the set of people who'd ever tried it once, and maybe 99% of that 10% were utterly repulsed by the result and never went back to it again.
True. I wouldn't be surprised by that because, for example, very light S&M play, like, for example, handcuffs, is now – you see that happening in movies all the time, where maybe not the actual act with handcuffs, but handcuffs being brought up and suggested. I mean, you'd see that on Friends once in a while probably.
And movies like Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone tying Michael Douglas to the headboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that ice pick.
So I would like to...
The issue here is consent.
True.
Speaking of consent, I would like to give our callers the space, our listeners, the space where they can call in. And I'm going to enable that for you by giving us the phone number, which is 621-9728. If you're on campus, just dial 9621-9728.
9 for
an outside call.
Ah, okay.
You can actually also call 89728, but
should we give our callers a safe word so that if they call and we start hurting them too much?
Tonight's safe word is estetro.
You are going to be in so much trouble. That's with right. channel. What is that? Channel 6? Well,
that would be the stop word. That's I think that's channel 11, WPXI. Yeah, they're going to send Chopper 11 over and raise the studio, right?
Maybe Estetro will be strangely flattered, right? You never know.
So Estetro should be the stop word, and then, like, maybe, you know, Peggy Finnegan could be, like, the slow down word. What's that, like, there's, like, a yellow, which means kind of, like, slow down.
There tends to be a whole continuum of, depending on how much you find people who want to adhere to what's called the safe, sane, consensual mantra, you find the stop everything this instant. You find the slow things down. I'm at the edge of having trouble. You have the sort of green light. I'm in a really good space. Wouldn't you please knock it up a notch or three?
Let's use Cordell Stewart for that.
Jeez.
Well, I would hope that you said that if you're with those kind of people, I would hope that most people are in the safe, sane, consensual zone.
The distinction I guess I would make is where you have it as a mantra that feels meaningless versus a personal relationship with someone where it really matters, on a long-term basis. I've had Francine now for almost 4 years, and we don't use the word safe, sane, and consensual, you know, in that sense at all. I know what's safe, and I know what we consider sane, and I know that there's an awful lot of people who think that some of the things we do together are certifiably insane.
Really?
And they're wrong.
But you've built up communication over
exactly,
years, right?
Exactly. And that's why the mantra, safe, sane, and consensual, it's great PR because it takes some of the sting out of the concept of one person inflicting some amount of pain on another when considered by a person who doesn't understand at all. You know, you wrap this pseudo-violence in the mantra of safe, sane, and consensual, and suddenly the vanilla person, as we call them, feels less offended by it, less troubled. But beyond a mantra for PR purposes, I don't think it's terribly useful. We're way afield from BR.
That's how true, how true. But, you know...
That's okay.
The show has taken on a life of its own, and...
That's fine. Whatever keeps us going.
So in the daytime, there were – so there are two things that I was curious about, actually. In the daytime, there were these vendor displays and also these kind of seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And,
workshops.
And in the evening, I guess there was the play parties. And I'm interested in both whether they were interesting and particularly titillating seminars. There was a seminar called – I can't say that word. We can imagine the seminar was called urine, but it was actually called something else.
Yes. Right? Well, the obvious substitute begins with a P. Move on.
And so that sounded like one that would intrigue me, although, you know, I don't – that is – it's sort of a potentially exciting, interesting kind of seminar. I was wondering if you went to any of the seminars, if there were any especially notable ones, especially kinky, titillating ones that you could share with our listeners.
Well, we went to a number. I mean, what do you do during Saturday and Sunday during the daylight hours? Well, you go to the workshops because that's what's going on. That's, you know, except for when you're spending time just doing the vendors and visiting with friends that you only see once a year because you go to Black Rose at the same time. We went to a number of them. Why don't you hand me the thing over there? I'm trying to remember what we did and did not go to. As usual, this year, as always, you get – you know, you've had this idea from the Black Rose website that they've put up their schedule of how things are going to proceed. And lo and behold, you get there and they find that there was some irreconcilable scheduling conflict and three seminars that you wanted to attend have all been rearranged so that they're all at the same time. You can't go to any of them or you can only go to one of them. So, yeah, we – let's see. We did – we went to the Advanced Caning.
Caning?
Yeah. Which I saw first because it starts with an A in the list. I've got an alphabetical list of the workshops here. Yeah, Francine and I had never done much with canes. We never really considered it much. It just hadn't been sort of, you know, within our world space. And a friend a number of months ago gave us a couple of canes. And we had experimented with them and found them kind of intriguing. And so when we went to the to Black Rose, we took one along because we figured we might use it in at the play party sometime. And we did, as a matter of fact. Unfortunately, I did a dumb thing. These are rattan canes, and they'd been sanded and finished. And they're very, particularly when they're very long, they get very, 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 I don't know how to describe it, very flexible. They flex quite a bit. Well, unfortunately, once when I was taking a swing with it, I didn't actually make contact. And so the cane itself took the entire force of the swing in its own flexing, and it was too much for it, and it cracked. And I felt very guilty about this for a while because, well, as Francine said, it was her favorite cane. And considering that she's on the receiving end of it most of the time, that kind of meant something. So the next day we went to one of the vendors, and we picked up one replacement, which was okay. Should avoid bumping the mic, shouldn't I? It's okay, but it didn't really feel the way that the way that it ought to, either in my hand as I use it or on her when it strikes her. And that afternoon, we went to the Advanced Caning, and we found that we probably shouldn't have gotten the first cane when we did at the time, because we learned a whole lot about canes, types of canes, cane maintenance. You know, how do you care for a cane, particularly if you don't finish it, if you're going to leave it as naked wood? How should you care for it? And there's a whole regimen of, you know, linseed oil treatment and so forth, and care for it if you ever manage to inadvertently or vertently to draw blood on a person with a cane, which is actually not at all hard to do. Well, suddenly you have a bloodborne pathogen problem, and the question is, how do you clean it so it might be used on someone else? And generally, the answer is you don't. Because it's just not worth taking that kind of chance. How do you clean it anyway? Just because now it has, you know, biological detritus on it, it has to be cleaned up. And along the way, one of the things that we learned was the cane that I broke the night before is a thing called a stripped cane. These rattan canes, as you see them most of the time in their natural form, they have a lot of knots and subtle joints in them. And they can be manipulated. If you soak them in water for a long time, then they can be twisted. I have one here that's pretty much what you think of as a classic English school cane. And it has a hook in it, as you'd expect it, such a thing to have. And, you know, the thing didn't grow this way. It was soaked for a long time in water, and it was worked slowly. And eventually it was tied off and then taken out of water and allowed to settle that way. And that's how you make the hook in a classic English school cane.
You know, you're holding this curved cane in your hand and showing it to me, and all I can think of is, you know, me, Matt Damon, and
a large German shepherd, right?
Well, I was thinking French schoolmates outfit, but same idea. And so you would use this curved cane. I mean, these are all for striking people. I mean, so the idea of caning, it's been a long time since I lived in Singapore, but the idea of caning, as I can imagine, is
it's a nasty, harsh, stingy sensation. Yes.
And you would smack somebody in the back or the butt with this thing over and over again until they bent to your will.
Or you simply got them into a really good headspace out in the middle of nowhere. At least nowhere you can see.
So I can imagine. So I don't know if I don't think I've ever been caned. So I can imagine when you're flogged, that's a little bit, I don't want to say softer, but those like soft leather tassels.
The tresses give.
Sting as much, I wouldn't
say. You know, the tresses are typically made of leather, and your back or butt is leather, and they give against each other.
Interesting. Canes are
the cane
not so
is
forgiving.
A stick, and it is not nearly so forgiving at all. And unless you break it, the cane wins. Yes.
Are we in store for a match, ass against cane?
I have no opinion on the subject. Anyway,
well, DJ the Bottomless Pit seems to be hinting at something.
Well, he does seem to be hinting, but I don't deal with hints. I'm a blunt member of the male half of the species. I don't deal with signals. So.
Well, but on the other hand, since you are the master and I am the
you're not mine, dude.
Slave.
Wait, didn't you just threaten to urinate on me to establish your dominance earlier in the show?
Well, I mean, so I guess it's more of a lattice kind of stretch. I am your master. Carl is my master.
In your dreams.
Matt Damon, you know.
Okay, maybe Matt Damon is your master. In your dreams, more precisely.
Actually, as longtime listeners of the show know, I actually went to college with Matt Damon. And
did
so,
you?
I actually met him once at the soda machine.
And you didn't have a cane.
Had I had a cane, you know.
You might have offered it to him.
Huh? His career and mine might have turned out completely differently. I might have been his little cohort in, rather than that Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting and so on. But instead, I chose to be a top research scientist.
And sex talk show host.
And he, you know, did whatever gig he did. So, but indeed, so if our listeners actually wanted, if our listener actually wanted a demonstration of caning, like, would you, like, do this on the show if I drop trow, as they say in the Army? Would you give me a few whacks of the cane just so our listeners can experience it vicariously? Or am I not setting up?
You know, that's if you really want, we can do that. That's fine.
I mean, I want to do this now.
You want to do this later? We got 23 minutes.
I think we should do it now because the time feels special to me. But if listeners want to call in and if listeners want to call in and give us advice during the caning, you know, increase the frequency or sound frequency, or you know, give instructions to Carl the canor. They can phone number is 621-9728. So Lance, I don't know how do we do this, Lance? You should narrate, I guess.
Yes, you should stand up and drop your pants.
Pants or back or what?
Naked butt? Especially on someone I've never done this to, I'd be much more comfortable with butt than back.
Interesting. I feel the same way.
Well, I'm thinking of that as a matter of safety, as there's more bone in the back to worry about.
Mm. Naked butt?
Your call.
I mean, is it what's traditional?
Well, when I use it on Francine, she's not wearing much.
All right. So let me set up my own.
We're making our own traditions here.
Let me set up my little iron.
We can play this any way you like.
I have to find in the studio here some kind of Iron Maiden that we can use too.
Oh, look! There's one right behind the couch. Here, let me pull it out for you.
little did we realize how well appointed the WRCT studio was.
Yes, DJ Bottomless Pit is now undoing the straps on the Iron Maiden. And he's already pulled his shirt off. And
well, he's working on it anyway.
Yeah, he's now fiddling with the belt with his overly ornate belt buckle.
And our producer is watching through the window. And she's having way too much fun.
All right.
And
don't laugh. I haven't started the Atkins plan yet.
So. DJ Bottoms Pit just instructed us not to laugh. Not to laugh at you or not to laugh at your pathetic squirming during the caning.
Okay. I'm taking my pants off.
DJ Bottomless Pit has just taken his pants down. He is now bent over and strapped into the Iron Maiden.
and he's okay. pulling the mic around. this could get ugly, folks. This could get really ugly.
DJ Carl has cane in hand, ready to swing. DJ Bottomless Pit appears to be taking a small strap of leather into his mouth to bite down on. DJ Carl has his hand raised like Mark McGuire.
Fair warning.
Okay. Up to bat.
But my microphone is
you
active.
Have to be hard at first.
Okay.
You just got, you know, if you've never been struck with one of these, I could have you scream really badly in one shot, and you probably don't want me to do that.
I mean, it's not really, he's not really in control now. Carl just struck DJ Bottomless Pit.
You got a weak-minded little owl from him.
in the buttocks with the cane, and DJ Bottomless Pit laughed.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? In order to improve this experience for myself, I want to share with you what's going on in my own mind. I'm thinking Matt Damon, School Ties. This is like 88?
Was Matt Damon actually in School Ties?
87? Oh, God, yes. Ow. Thank you, Matt. Ow.
He had a little trouble keeping his concentration, no surprise.
You know, there's also
yes, a number of reddish discolored welts have appeared on DJ
Bottomless. This is surprisingly painful.
Have I actually raised welts?
It looks like it.
You're hurting me.
Well, I don't know if they're welts with a definite discoloration.
I believe we need to hear you say that again.
You're hurting me. This is surprisingly painful. Keep it coming, babe. But so I'm thinking, who was the other guy? Who was the guy in Scent of a Woman?
Wilford Brimley.
No, I'm thinking of...
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell, yes. So I'm thinking, ow. You know, it stings for a long time, like even after you hit it,
the
just like...
The afterburn is half the sensation, yes.
Oh, holy cow.
Chris O'Donnell.
I'm not being a cream puff on you here, but neither am I doing what I sometimes do. So, you know, just...
What do you sometimes...
Adjust to scale here.
Okay.
Have your thoughts turned to the fake nipples placed on the Robin costume in Batman and Robin?
I don't know how much more of this you want, so... You know.
No, just keep it coming. So the thing is, I'm thinking... ow! God! Well, so why is this different? See, like before when I was whipped, I mean...
This is a different implement. You haven't been struck with one before.
That's true. Like said, and maybe I haven't gotten used.
When it's a flogger against your butt, they're both leather and they give against each other. This is a stick. It wins.
And yeah, tight and rock hard though your ass appears to be.
They're not that good.
It's not beating the cane at its own game.
I mean, is it possible that so for the flogger, for example, I also had time to adjust the pain, like the flogs were very light at first and then increased in intensity. Is it possible that I haven't acclimated to sting of the cane yet?
I gave you one or two really light shots just to really start. I mean, the first time I struck you, you said, ow. And that's kind of what I expected.
Right.
You know, it was hardly enough to notice.
Interesting.
But in the interest of time, you know.
Notice I haven't actually said my stop word yet.
He's baiting me really good. No, I'm not going to make you do that.
Okay, nerding.
He's pounding on the floor.
Yeah, that was a good one. DJ Bottomless Pit is now in pain. He's grabbed his shoe and is playing against the floor.
And that's it.
All right, thank you very much.
I realize you listeners at home there and at your office and wherever can't get exactly the full feature of effect of this whole operation, but let's just say that he squirmed a lot, and he held his face in his hands a lot.
There ought to be some sort of award we give our guests that actually managed to render our host speechless.
He will have some marks on his butt for a couple of days. I did raise enough of a welt to do that. You have some red stripes.
Well, that's nothing.
When you get home tonight, you can you know, look at yourself in a full-length mirror, and you'll notice. So
I'm sorry, my mic was offline as I was pulling it out of my ass. The,
I don't know why we should deny our listeners that sound, actually.
Wow, that is I'm not sure I like that.
Well, a lot of people don't. For a lot of people, caning is a hard limit. They will not do it. You do it to them, and they'll be elsewhere so fast you'll wonder if they develop, you know, faster than light travel.
That's why it is used as a punishment, actually.
Well, that's where it came from, after all, yeah.
Interesting. So, I mean, maybe if I were in my alternate space and I had been flying for a while and I was kind of...
Sure, if there had been time to develop, instead of just to demonstrate and so forth.
The other thing that I thought was strange about this article, this is a bit of a tangent, but...
The Salon article.
The Salon article was that this woman referred to the average person at this... and forgive me if I drift off here. I'm kind of going into endorphin space a little bit.
That's okay.
Talked about the average kind of participant being middle-aged and overweight and white. I mean, this seemed like a really strange way to describe people. Were they overweight? Do you think I'm overweight?
There are certainly people there who are overweight. And, you know, maybe because they might not be wearing as much as you typically see people wear, maybe you'd notice it more. there are also people there with fabulous physiques. There were a few people there who looked like they're built like sticks.
May I offer the following suggestion? Or the following possible explanation?
Mm-hmm.
So we're used to, because of the influence of the media, seeing whenever we see people in the sexual context, they're people that have been explicitly selected and are hugely atypical of the population. Right?
Exactly.
And it may be that this meeting actually reflected reality in a way that we're not used to when we think about sexual activity.
You know, the average woman who's 5'2" does not, in fact, weigh 95 pounds. She weighs 130 pounds or 150 pounds or something. And the people at the Black Rose Convention are just folks who happen to have a rather substantial kink.
Did you say kink or cane?
Kink. K-I-N-K.
Not all of them have canes.
No, and in fact, you know, if I had to guess, I'd say 10% of the people there or less were doing things with canes.
So I'm interested about the play party room.
The play party room. Okay.
So, but I just want to preface this, right? So for our listen, for you know, there's probably some budding 18-year-old out in rural Pennsylvania who's listening to the show. Right, who's thought about this stuff.
His parents are really unhappy he listens to this show.
Perhaps. But so this must be a world that, you know, world that are hypothetical. Let's call him Mitch, that Mitch has dreamed of and fantasized about.
Like Matt.
Matt. Okay, well, let's call him Matt. Let's say they're brothers, Matt and Mitch. And what is that world like when you step into it? Now, you've seen it before, so you're not, you know, you don't get the full impact of it.
I mean, do Matt and Mitch want a gentle introduction to this world, the kind of introduction that only a seasoned sex talk host could provide?
You'd have to talk to them.
This is what's known as trolling for partners, GDD.
But I'm curious, when you walk into the play party room, what is it like? What does it feel like?
Well, all right. This is an exceptional case because it's a huge event.
Yeah.
And so the play party space is accordingly huge. The Ramada Inn in New Carrollton has an exhibition space that is 22,000 square feet plus a... another room that sort of abuts it, adjoins it, which is considered the social space. And that is where people go when they've had too much party for a while.
But that's where they go to
sit
to
down
and
take, yeah, to talk. They bring in munchies that you get for free.
Yeah.
There's you know, artwork in there and a silent auction for various kitschy items.
Mm-hmm.
But the play party space itself is divided into, I don't know, maybe six or seven areas. Determined by the type of toys that are there and play that's expected.
Seems to me the proper way to do an auction in the S&M world would be to have masters and their slaves together, and every time you wanted to bid, you would just whack your slave with a cane and to get your slave to yell out.
I've seen this done. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, although not quite in that way. There was an event in Columbus, Ohio a couple of years ago. It was a fundraiser for an S&M couple who were having trouble with the law. And their kids had been taken away from them, and there was an auction of assorted doodads that were contributed by local vendors, and yeah, there were events going on with the auction that involved swatting a sub. Anyway, so there's six or seven or maybe eight areas around here. There's there's an area where there's bondage benches sort of things. And there's an area with St. Andrew's crosses and related racks and frames. And there's what they call the medical area, where people who want to do play piercing and cuttings and so forth. And there's a really strong preoccupation with very safe things when it comes to blood play because of the problem of pathogens. No, we do not want to have anyone contract AIDS or any other diseases as a result of their participation in such things. There's a large scaffolding with several block and tackles attached where a suspension work is done.
Where people are actually hoisted up into
mm-hmm,
the air.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch any suspension this year. I think it was the first time, 2 years ago. Francine and I just happened to come by that area at one point when this one couple arrived to go do some suspension play. And the woman was already elaborately bound in what is commonly called a Japanese rope bondage, which is involved with a lot of rope and some extravagant knot work.
Mm-hmm.
And he laid her down underneath a chain, under a block and tackle. And he attached her to it and did assorted things and then hoisted her up. And once hoisted, then he could do things to rotate her and turn her upside down and so forth. It was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, very artistic. The original rope work that she was bound in was by itself artistic.
Yeah.
And then the work he did with her, the concept of human being as toy, it was just, that's what was going on there. Yeah. And they were both deeply into it on that basis.
It sounds like an excellent way to introduce youngsters to both the idea of sexuality, alternative sexuality, as well as the physics and theory of simple machines.
You're really reaching.
I am a visionary. And
no, okay. He's not reaching. He's thinking of the children, which he often does during
the show. All right. In all the wrong ways.
I'm thinking of my ass, actually, right now.
Is your ass still a little warm?
Well, yeah,
is it a lot warm?
It doesn't actually sting anymore, but it's definitely kind of cozy.
You will feel it for a day.
It feels good when I squeeze the left cheek, which is what I'm doing right now.
And the right cheek?
Well, the right cheek doesn't feel as good. I don't know why.
Because I hit the right one harder, given the simple geometry of where I'm sitting and where you were when I was doing that.
See, again, an excellent physics lesson for the youngsters.
Well, fine. There were some areas that were not really set up for one type of play for the whole weekend. It was, frankly, it was a table, and
mm-hmm.
people put the table to use for a lot of different
yeah.
things.
Sort of
a frame constructed over a table. There was, two of the heaviest things I saw go on that weekend were play-piercing suspension things.
Were people actually hung by the piercings?
Yes.
Wow. That looks like it hurts.
Oh, God. I have trouble watching it, much less thinking about doing it to someone myself. The first one was a woman laid down on a table, and then a series of play piercings were done in two rows from her shoulder blades to her calves.
When you say play piercing, what does that mean?
Needles stuck under the skin,
okay.
and those then replaced with a suitable hook.
Okay. But not piercings. So,
yeah,
isn't
this is actual, breaking the skin
yes.
and a certain amount of blood that's unavoidable, even if you're not looking for the blood. There are people who play with needles because they like
yeah.
to play in blood.
But it's not a piercing to get an actual decorative object inserted. It's more of a temporary thing, right?
Yes,
okay.
exactly. Very much the case. And so she had, two dozen or three dozen of these hooks inserted in her back and butt and thigh and I think down to her calf. I didn't think it went any further than her calf. Because when you get to the calf, the next thing down is the Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
You just don't mess
yes,
with
you
that.
You don't want to pierce that.
Once these were in place, then a series of long ropes were threaded zigzag style up into the frame overhead and down into a needle and up to the frame and down into a hook, I should say. And in a very slow, careful manner, I think it was four people were working on her and were gradually increasing the tension until it was all taut. And finally, she started to be lifted off
wow.
of off of the table. Now, they didn't actually lift her off of the table completely, but at a point when they decided that they had enough tension on the hooks already, they lowered the table from underneath her
ooh,
and
okay.
left her suspended that way. That was a very heavy scene. It was a little hard to watch at times because I just that's not my kink.
Yeah.
But it was technically interesting, and so it had my attention. I it's the sort of thing you can't afford to look away. The woman this was being done to, she was very adamant she wanted to go on, but she was struggling really hard with it. She broke down in tears along the way several times, nonetheless telling them not to stop. They asked her if she was safe boarding, and she said emphatically no, she wasn't. I don't remember how long they left her up there. I don't think I saw – no, I didn't see them. I didn't see her be brought back to the table and have everything taken out of her.
But not all suspension works involves plate piercing, right?
No. Like what I said the first time, the couple that was being hoisted on the block of tackle, that was just bound up and then suspended off.
Yeah.
The other plate piercing suspension that we saw, though, was – it was actually quite a problem at one point. A very small woman, 4'10", 85 pounds when she's dripping wet sort of person.
Yeah.
Excuse me. She was underneath a simple frame overhead, and two plate piercings had been done through the skin over the inside of her shoulder blades,
mm-hmm.
and one rather large hook was put through each of these. And then they had the twine, the rope, whatever, run from breakaway pulleys in the top of the frame down mm-hmm. to the hook.
Okay.
That's all that's holding her up is two hooks in her
wow.
shoulders. Now, she's not a heavy woman.
Yeah.
And so, you wouldn't do this with someone who weighs 250 or 300 pounds. But, still.
Yeah.
she was wearing nothing except these hooks in her shoulders. And finally, they got everything into her and they pulled it tight and they started to lift her. And they pulled her, her dom, it was actually only one person, very slowly pulled her up while another friend sort of comforted her a bit and kept her from swaying and so forth too much. The problem that developed was that, excuse me, I'm having a throat problem here. After she was off the ground a little bit, and she's sort of working with the sensations, but her body is moving around, her ankles are going up behind her and coming back down, and you can tell she's working emotionally with the physical pain of it all.
Yeah.
By dumb luck, her feet had gone up and come back down, and the breakaway hooks gave. And suddenly you have the woman go, boop, and she's fallen a foot to the ground. She wasn't that far off the ground in the first place. But it's damn good that her feet weren't up behind her, so she fell 3 feet to the ground.
Yeah.
And, probably the funniest aspect of it was, here's a woman, she falls. And there's 55 people sitting around watching this happen. And there's one collective, because, in the first 3/10 of a second, you don't know if the hooks gave or if they tore through her shoulder skin.
Yeah.
And, you had to think, what's going on here? Well, in short order, it was obvious that, the hooks broke. Oh, well, these things happen. The woman wasn't coping. Yeah, she wasn't coping really well. She was obviously going into a weird emotional state where one second, and literally in seconds, she would go from, wasn't that cool and wasn't that weird, and the next second she's crouching on the floor and crying. And 3 seconds later she's back up and wow, and the things that this does to you in endorphins and hormones and such is just alarming.
Well, actually, I wanted to give you a little more time for this, but I felt I wanted to devote just a little bit of time to, we've talked about how interesting this is and how kind of unusual it is, but I would like you to just stress how, consensual this all is. I mean, can you just tell our listeners that
there are dungeon monitors who watch what goes on, and if they detect that something is being done to someone that is really not appreciated, they will stop things hard. And in fact, we know of two or three things that were stopped by the dungeon monitors.
And so, for
matters of safety, at least, if not for lack of consensuality.
I mean, I think it should be stressed that everyone who does this is an adult.
Yes.
Doing this willingly.
Yes.
And they're enjoying it.
21 and up in Maryland.
And, This has nothing to do with any kind of forcible or any kind of non-consensual scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
We're running out of time, but this play party, it went on from 9 to 3 Friday and Saturday, and from I think it was 8 to midnight Sunday, which is technically called the afterglow party because everything is done. We did workshops during the days. We did, as I said, the caning one. We did a seminar on SM and the law. We did a few other things of this sort. We did one on SM burnout. And, when you've been doing things to the point that you've forgotten why you do them, which actually was very instructive in some ways.
So it's traditional at the end of the show for me to ask our guests to make a psychic prediction about the future. And so my psychic question for you, to use your psychic powers, is in the 23rd century when we have intelligent computers, telepathy, matter transportation, and
properly self-cleaning ovens.
That and also contact with alien races. What will be the hottest kind of sex act or sex toy in this arena? I touched on this earlier.
It would depend on the assorted protrusions from the alien races, wouldn't it?
Indeed.
So I really don't think I'm qualified to make a statement about this because I don't know what these alien races are like.
I mean, everybody knows the answer to that question, the Orion face hat.
Exactly. So, Lance, you win one psychic point. Carl, it was delightful having you on the show.
I dodged the question. That's what I did.
Thank you all for listening. I'm a little disappointed in your psychic powers, but the rest of the show was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening. Good night.